I believe that this is one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible. And Jesus did say that there are weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. And I believe this chapter contains some of the weightier matters in the entire Bible, because if we go wrong here, we are in danger of completely misunderstanding salvation, the gospel, and what it is that Christ has done for us and in us. There is no better chapter in the entire Bible to describe our relationship with sin than Romans chapter 6. There's no better chapter in the entire Bible to describe why a believer will live a life of holiness than Romans chapter 6. And there's no better chapter to understand why it's impossible for a Christian to continue in sin than Romans chapter 6. So these are some of the weightier matters. This is an important chapter. And of course, these verses don't come to us in a vacuum. They come to us in the context of the rest of the book of Romans and what Paul has been saying up until this point in chapters 1 through 5 is he's just got done explaining justification by faith alone, that salvation is entirely the free gift of God. It's by grace. It's not according to works of the law. It has nothing to do with our own merit or righteousness deserving it. And of course, it raises this question in those who hear. If that's really true, if what you say about salvation being 100% the grace of God, nothing to do with our works, what then? Verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And of course, Paul's answer is, God forbid. By no means, the King James says, God forbid. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So this question of shall we continue in sin can only come from a misunderstanding of what salvation is, a misunderstanding of the grace of God, and it's a failure to fully grasp the implications of the gospel. And it's also, it comes from the mindset of the antinomian. It's the antinomian heresy, it's lawless thinking. If the grace of God is really free, why not sin that grace might abound? Why not go on sinning? Why not live a lawless life? If where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, why not continue in sin? And of course, this objection that's raised against the free grace of God is, it comes from the mindset of those who turn the grace of God into sensuality. It's a perversion of the truth. It's a perversion of the gospel. It's not the true gospel. And I want to look at why today. Why is it that a Christian cannot continue in sin? And what do you think when you hear that? A Christian cannot continue in sin. What does he mean? What does it even mean to continue in sin? In other words, can you go on living your life in the exact same way that you've been living your life before you ever believed in Jesus Christ? Can you have an encounter with Christ and profess faith in him and your life isn't changed at all? That's what it is to continue in sin. Our life before knowing Christ was a life of sin. It was a life of lawlessness. And when we encounter the Lord, our life is changed. We don't continue in that life. And so that's exactly what we're going to look at here. I have three reasons why it is impossible for Christians to continue in sin. Reason number one, Christians are dead to sin. If you're a Christian in this room, you are dead to sin. You can say, if you're a Christian, I am dead to sin. Verse 2, Paul says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? That's his answer to the objection. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? If you're a Christian, you have died to sin. The Christian life is the crucified life. 99% of people, in some places more than that, can tell you Jesus Christ died for our sins. Go around and walk on the street and talk to people and ask them, do you know why Jesus died on the cross? And you'll find, I don't know if, you know, everybody seems to know it here in America. Jesus Christ died for our sins. But there aren't very many people who can tell you, I died with him. But Paul says, if you're a Christian, that's true of you. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. That's verse 6 of Romans 6. Our old self was crucified with him. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2. I no longer live. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Why is it that we should stand aghast at the idea that a Christian could continue to live in sin? That a child of God might sin, that grace may abound? Because if you've been united with Jesus Christ by faith, you've been united with him in his death on the cross. In other words, Christ's death accomplished not only our pardon, our forgiveness, our reconciliation to God, but in his death we died also to our old way of life, that we might be raised with him also to walk in newness of life. The Bible says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. There's been a spiritual immersion into Christ that we might be raised spiritually to walk
and newness of life. Now, do you think that way? Do you think I'm dead to sin? Do you tell yourself I'm dead to sin? Because as I thought about this, I thought, I don't really tell myself that. I know it's true from the Bible, I'm dead to sin, but I don't tell myself, Hunter, you are dead to sin. And you can tell yourself that if you're a Christian. You can say, Ronnie, you are dead to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you. It doesn't have power over you. It doesn't reign in your life as supreme, as master over you. It won't master you. You're dead to it. I think we have to learn to think that way. As Paul says in verse 12, he comes to the conclusion, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Let it not reign. Don't let sin reign, because sin won't have dominion over you. You've died to that old way of life. So Christ has delivered us not only from the guilt of our sin, but also its power. And if you share in the forgiveness of sins, you also share in the victory over it. So that's reason number one. Reason number two why Christians cannot continue in sin is this. Christians are not under the law, but they're under grace. In verse 14 of chapter 6, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. This is a statement of fact. It's not a command. It's a fact. Sin won't have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under law, but under grace. And so we need to ask this question, what does it mean to be under law? What does it mean to be under law? And it's basically this, if you're under law, you're obligated to keep the law for righteousness. And the law's condemning power for transgression is over you. For all who have works of the law are under a curse. As you've broken the law condemns you if you're under the law. And if your idea of Christianity is just a list of do's and don'ts, just simply commandments, you do this, you don't do that, it's all what you do and don't do, then in order to be right with God, then you've completely missed the gospel. You've completely missed what it is Christ has done. And what's man's basic problem is he tries to be saved by the law. He tries to be saved by keeping the law, but he's a slave to sin. No matter how hard he tries, no matter what reforms he tries to make, human willpower is not enough. It's not enough to please God. Our own efforts, our own works, it takes something more to be free from sin. It takes the grace of God. And that comes only to those who are united to Jesus Christ by faith. And the good news is that Jesus has completely paid the debt of our sin. We're not obligated to keep the law in order to earn a righteousness before God for our justification, but we're under grace enabling power. That's what it is to be under grace. It means this, God is at work in us. In verse 17 in Romans, He says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. He thanks God that the believers at Rome had become obedient from the heart. He doesn't give credit to them, but it's God who's at work to change the believer's heart so that they would no longer be slaves of sin, but that they would become slaves of righteousness. So to be under grace is to have God at work in you. It's to have God's enabling power. To be under grace also means this, that the law has no condemning power over you. Because of Jesus Christ, who's paid your debt, he's paid for your sin. The law can't condemn you. Christ has fulfilled it perfectly. And when you're under grace, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the second reason why a Christian can't continue in sin is that grace, it changes the believer's heart. It makes him obedient from the heart. It makes him a slave of righteousness. And it leads directly into my third reason why Christians cannot continue in sin. It's Christians serve a new master. They serve a new master. Verse 14 again. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then, are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? So now the truth that Paul is concerned to communicate here is that everyone is a slave. It's simply a question of this: who's your master? You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. There are only two options: either sin or obedience. And what characterizes the unbeliever is he obeys sin. The unbeliever yields themselves continually to sin. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. That is, everyone who makes sin the common rule and practice, the habitual conduct of their lives, is a slave to sin." What is a sin? What is a slave? What does it mean to be a slave? One dictionary I looked up, a Greek dictionary for the word, it says to be a slave is to be under someone's total control. If you're a slave, you have a master. You're not your own. And what is sin? Sin is transgression of the law. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is impurity. It's wickedness. It's iniquity. And the unbeliever is a slave to that. They're a slave to disobedience, to lawlessness, and impurity. And the best illustration from the Bible is that when the Israelites were in Egypt, they were held in captivity. They were held in slavery to Pharaoh. They were in bondage, and they were made to serve Pharaoh. They weren't free people. Pharaoh could tell them to make bricks without straw. They were in hard bondage, and they were powerless to do anything about it. But God brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of Egypt, and he brought them into the land of Canaan to be a people for himself, to serve him. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. A Christian's slavery is to God. It's to righteousness. Having been set free from sin, you've become slaves of righteousness. Verse 19 of chapter 6. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. We become slaves to righteousness when we're saved. And it's an obedience from the heart. It's not an unwilling slavery. It's a willing one. Like the slave in the Old Testament who said, I love my master, I don't want to go out from him. The Christian chooses to remain in bondage to righteousness. There's a sense. Well, the reality is that as Christians, when you don't sin, when you choose to do what's right, you're just being who you really are. You're just practicing. You're being who you really are, and you're doing what you really want to do. You're not in bondage to sin, but you're a slave to righteousness, and it's a willing slavery. And so sin is not your master anymore. You don't have Pharaoh's not your old master if you're a Christian. Or he's not your current master, he's your old master. He can't come and tell you to make bricks. He has no authority anymore. Now, to what degree, you might be sitting there asking yourself, if that's true, if I'm free from sin, if sin's not my master, why is it that I can still sin? Because the truth is, Christians still sin. And if we're free from sin and sin doesn't have dominion over us, why is it that a Christian can still commit sin? Now, I heard a good illustration from John Piper, and he compared the human heart and man to a castle. And on the throne sits either sin or God. And when a person is saved and Christ becomes the Lord of their life, sin is dethroned. And God takes the seat there. God sits on the throne. And now sin is an enemy who's come to make war on you. He's come to fight. And sometimes sin might win the battle, but he doesn't sit on the throne of the Christian's heart. And that's, Paul's not talking about perfection, otherwise he wouldn't say, you let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that there's something for you to do if you're a Christian. You still have to choose not to sin. We still have to present our members to God. The battle isn't over. There's warfare going on, but sin is not the ultimate master over us. And so I'll conclude with this exhortation. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. If you are a Christian, you're dead to sin. You're under grace. And you've got a new master. Sin will not have dominion over you. Don't let it have dominion over you. Don't yield yourself to it. Don't give yourself to it. And it's a universal statement. Any sin, all sin, it won't have dominion over you. Whatever sin it is that God might put his finger on in your life, it doesn't have to have dominion over you. It doesn't have to rule over you if you're saved. There's power to defeat it. The question is this: how far do you really want to go? Are you going to settle for a little sin in your life? If you're a Christian, you've fought very real, very difficult battles with sin. Don't give up the battle. Don't let sin reign in your life. But pursue holiness. Pursue sanctification. Just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. You pursue that holiness. And maybe this was a discouraging message for you, and you're thinking, you feel defeated, you feel like it's too late, that you've got too much sin in your life that you can't change. But I would say this: surrender yourself to Christ. Surrender that sin. Yield yourself to him. Present yourself to God as an instrument for righteousness. Well, amen. I'll end there. Father, I pray you take your word, use it to help your people. Lord, may we not let sin reign in us. May we yield ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.